objects in that 6 to 8 feet that you're trying to quote in here as being for people with disabilities. That means sidewalk cafes, that means hotel kiosks, means anything of that nature. So here's what we propose to do. Every time we come downtown, which would be every day, every time we see a sidewalk cafe set up, we're filing a federal ADA complaint. Every time we see a hotel kiosk, we're filing a complaint. And there's plenty of us. And it's going to end up costing the city a whole bunch of money before all said and done. So let's just paint that box real clear. If we're going to use the ADA, let's use it all the way, which means there are no exemptions. That means no cafes, no hotel kiosks, nothing commercial. Not even a planner can be in that 6 to 8 feet. So I would advise you to maybe go back and look at that ADA Act really close before you use it as a cover for this. The judges have told you before, you have tools in your arsenal to cut down the behavior you're talking about. Use those tools. Don't use this as a smokescreen. It's wrong. My girlfriend has a hard time coming downtown. But you know what? She's not afraid of panhandlers. She's not afraid of street people. I was one myself once. And any one of us could be here again.
Thanks for your testimony. Appreciate it. Hi.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ken Lloyd, pastor of Home PDX. If this is not about controlling homeless people, why do we juxtapose the telling how well the city has done towards homeless people in the same meeting?
Because that's part of the testimony. It's responding to testimony. Okay.
Jesus had a brother, and his name was James, and he has made some remarks in regards to this issue. My brothers, and this is to believers, but I'm thinking it's more universal than that. My brothers, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, there is a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand here, move over there to the curb, then you are showing favoritism. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbors as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show sober favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. And what we are saying in the city of Portland or proposing to say is this. If you have the goods of this life, if you have the privileges of this life, come and sit in a restaurant on the sidewalk. Enjoy the breezes of summer. Enjoy the sun on your face. Have a cool drink. Have a well-presented meal. If, on the other hand, life has kicked you to the curb and you have none of the privileges and none of the benefits of living in this society, then go sit by the curb. Don't sit up against a building. Don't relax. Don't lean up against a building and rest, but just sit over on the curb. This is unfair. You are showing favoritism. And my God, the God that I serve, says that you are sinning and that you are lawless in doing so. Thank you for letting me speak.
So from your point of view, there's no way we could try to manage the many competing uses of the sidewalks and not be a sinner.
I'm saying that if you let someone sit in a restaurant, I just walked by a tangle of chairs today, which would be an absolute nightmare for a person.
Would you support any kind of management of the sidewalk in terms of where people can walk, where people must stand, and where people can sit?
I think as long as it was fairly applied to all classes of society, I'd be in favor of some. I don't know what right, I can't speak specifically right now, but I would say I would be in favor of some some rules in regarding to the use of the sidewalk. But right now, the rules, as they will be applied against homeless citizens in the downtown core of Portland, Oregon.
Reverend, our friends outside can bring a chair, their own chair, and sit in many sidewalks. There's plenty of space. In fact, that's where most people are sitting now. As I walk downtown, people are not sitting against the building. They're sitting between the tree wells where it's more protected. And people under this ordinance, people will be able to bring their own bucket or chair or whatever and sit there and enjoy the breezes and have a picnic.
I think the practicality of that, if your everything you own in this world is on your back, carrying an extra chair is just absolutely unreasonable.
You can sit on your backpack, but we're not going to correct all the ills of society that some people have and some people have not. What we are going to do is make sure that there's a place for everybody to sit on every sidewalk downtown, whether they can afford to sit at a restaurant or whether they're sitting on their backpack.
So I'm hearing you say then that if I have a backpack and I walk up next to a restaurant, a sidewalk restaurant, I can sit down up near the building on my backpack.
No, you can sit on the other side.
I can sit on the curb.
Well, it's okay. Not at the curb. If you look at downtown sidewalks, many of them are very wide, and there's more space left for people who aren't in the pedestrian zone than there are in the other. And we obviously are going to disagree on this.
And there, we do disagree.
And there are seating. There is seating in some cases at the curb
right,
for the restaurant. So.
And actually, any benches that are in the pedestrian zone are specifically exempted. So if there are benches that are provided and permitted under the awnings, then everybody is welcome to sit there.
Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hello, my name is Julie McCurdy. I come to you as a concerned citizen, but also as a writer for Street Roots and a founding member of Right to Survive. I'm glad that you're looking at this, but I think the situation you present to the public is not quite accurate. While you sat there congratulating yourselves last week on a job well done, your actions have failed an entire community. I'm going to read this because I'm very nervous speaking in front of people I don't know.
You're doing great.
Okay. What you have done is use disabled people who are vulnerable and marginalized to further harass and oppress the unhoused. This ordinance has been overturned before as unconstitutional, and yet you're bringing it to the table again. It remains unconstitutional. I know what you're doing affects us because I talk to people every day that live in the street. I have not once seen any one of you out there asking any one of us what we think or what our possible solutions would be. So we have not been consulted in a way that shows any sort of respect or concern. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Okay. We did demonstrate very effectively last weekend how we can effectively deal with many of our own issues and concerns in a nonviolent, inclusive manner that benefits all parts of the community. Oddly enough, I didn't see you there either.
What was that?
That was a festival of resistance, which demonstrated safe camping techniques. It did skill shares to promote self-support in a nonviolent way. What that said to me was that you are not interested in alternatives which save the city money or solve the problem. You're, in fact, interested in solutions that pad those pockets. This is really what that said to me. What I got out of last week's session was that I, as a human being, have less value than a cup of coffee. Let me explain. When you say that we're allowed to sleep next to the curb on a street at night without being criminalized, what you say is that it's okay for us to risk our lives by sleeping right next to where the cars park. That enables us to inhale exhaust fumes, and that enables us to risk our safety by being possibly hit by those cars that are parking next to that curb. During the day, if we sit there, we're still inhaling fumes from passing vehicles. I don't think that's legitimate or okay. And many of the people I speak with on a regular basis agree with that. What the intent is and what the effect is are two different things. What you've said to us is that you're going to use our perception as unhoused people is that you're using the ADA to divide and conquer. Both of us are marginalized communities, and neither of us are okay with that.
Sam, could I just clarify one thing? And I'll ask the authors, because I'm, as you may know, in the front lines of trying to address the question of camping and have been working with Monica Granacki in the court on that issue. And but you alluded to camping, and my understanding is this proposed ordinance, the hours of operation are 7 to 9. Is that correct? So I may not change your views as to that aspect, but it would not technically impact camping, whether it's legal or unlawful camping, because it would end at 9 o'clock.
I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate that input, but what I'm telling you is our perception. I'm not a professional.
I understand.
No, I'm not.
You did a very good job of telling us.
And believe me, I'm not trying to argue with you on the point. I just want to make sure that people understand what.
So what you're saying to me is it's okay for us still to camp up against buildings if we have no other place to sleep. We don't have to sleep on the curb.
So as you know, we do not currently enforce our camping ban. We do not prosecute anyone for the camping ban. We have an untenable situation, but the city does not actually enforce that camping ban. I'm trying to come up with a much better place than people sleeping on the streets, because I don't think that should be the choice.
I understand what you're saying.
Currently, we've not had a prosecution of the camping ban in a couple of years. So de facto, but that's a different issue for another day. I just wanted to be clear about the hours of operation.
Okay.
We have to move on, and you express yourself incredibly effectively. I appreciate it. Thank you all very much.
One more thing.
We've got a lot of the people
to
talk.
We will be starting a website.
So can
where
you
we can facilitate,
talk about the? Can you mention the next three speakers?
Jacob Lancey, Trillium Channon, Ibi Mubarak, followed by Chani Giegel-Teller and Monica Bremer, Dan Handelman.
So one thing just on the ADA, the last version of this said there was no sitting, no line on the entire stretch of the sidewalk. And so in order to come up with something that was more than just Sam Adams or Amanda Fritz or Nick Fish or any other individual opinion on council of how wide a pedestrian use zone might be, we look to the ADA requirement of passage. And that's where the mention of ADA comes into. We tried to be less than just purely individualistic, selective on how much a pedestrian use zone, how wide a pedestrian use zone should be. We have a third person. Who's another one?
It was Ibrahim Mubarak.
He can't be present today.
Can you, the next person then?
Then Shani Geigel-Teller, right here.
Shani here. Come on up. Hi, welcome.
Hello, welcome. Thanks for letting us speak for 2 minutes. My name's Trillium Channon. I'm a community radio producer at KBOO. I also have been someone who slept at Dignity Village as well as interviewed people and slept with people on the streets. So I've talked to many, many people, and I'd like to speak also not just for myself, but there's so many people who can't be here today. So let's cut through the doublespeak and get to the point of what this sidewalk management means. This is about criminalizing poor people. We know who's going to be targeted with this sidewalk management, people who are already the most marginalized. I don't have faith in the police being trained to enforce this ordinance without bias, and I don't have faith in their intent to preserve people's dignity, their rights, or their property. When I've been talking to people on the streets, I'm hearing that this ordinance is a tool for the annual sweeps to get homeless folks out of sight for the summer festivals like the Rose Festival. So, Mayor Adams, the amount of money allocated in your budget does not simply translate to support of human rights in this city. I oppose this ordinance and all ordinances that violate human rights. And I'd also like to ask Commissioner Fish how it is that the camping ban is not being enforced just because people aren't being prosecuted in courts. As you know, many homeless people are being roused from their camps. They can't get a good night's sleep. This is related to this sidewalk management, by the way, because if people can't get a good night's sleep, they're going to have to find some place to rest. It's very hard to function when you can't get sleep. So I would like to know how it is that if the police are enforcing this, sweeping people from under bridges, how it is that there's any legal camping here and any place for people who don't have the economic privilege to have a place to lay their head at night to get a good night's rest.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi. Oh, sir.
Hi. I'm Jacob, and I am currently homeless in the state of Portland. And I've noticed the police have been recently started rousting people out, coming by and playing obnoxious music on the loudspeaker to wake individuals up, such as myself, and on several occasions coming by at 5:30 in the morning to wake us up when I don't think there's any reason to wake us up quite just that early yet. And I was wondering, why do you have any reason why that would be happening?
So this hearing is on the specific sidewalk ordinance.
I understand
Amy Stevens is here, and she can meet with you to deal with your specific question, but we're here to take testimony specifically on the sidewalk ordinance. Thanks.
That is a good question. If you want to talk to Amy, we'll look into
She's right there. Hi.
Really quick before I begin, I just wanted to thank all of our friends and allies in the room for speaking their truth today. I just really find people's testimonies very hopeful for me. So now I'll read the statement. My name is Shani Geigley-Teller, and I'm with Sisters of the Road. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Last week you heard from people who said that they would object to being cited by this law as there is no way for them to protect themselves in any case of this law being enforced unfairly. If you pass this law today, it could start being enforced today. If there are any mistakes or someone isn't able to, for whatever reason, follow up with their citation, it could mean that that person could get wiped off of housing lists. This last Monday, we attended the Sharing Public Sidewalks Advisory Committee and learned that there is still no structured process for the oversight of this new law. Earlier, Mayor Adams shared that half of the input he's received from Portlanders is concerned that this law will target people experiencing homelessness. With that great concern coming from the community and the history of these types of laws validating those concerns, we continue to insist that council vote against this ordinance and work with the community to find healthy, creative solutions for all of us that do not end up with some of us being criminally targeted. If you do end up choosing to pass this ordinance, Sisters strongly advocates for a civilian oversight committee as well as a sunset date on this law so that evaluation and concerns are addressed with or without the courts motivating the city to do so. It is also our understanding that an amendment today, which was introduced, would prohibit freedom of speech and assembly in the form of sitting in the pedestrian use zone. Last week, Commissioner Fritz asked the question, what use is there to enact this law when there is any type of exemption? Again, speaking of exemptions, we raise the issue that tables and chairs in sidewalk cafes are being allowed more right to be in public spaces than people. People violating this law would receive one written warning, but businesses would get three warnings. This hardly seems just. We want to continue to work with you to make our city safe and equitable for every person who calls Portland home. If you pass this law, we are confident that a lengthy legal battle will ensue. People's lives will be further hindered, and we will waste our resources and collective energy on this unnecessary law. Like Mayor Adams, we want to work on solutions. For Sisters, that includes restoring the level of federal funding allotted for affordable housing back to the comparable levels of the 70s. We are ready for that struggle. We've already begun that struggle with our partners at the West Coast Regional Advocacy Project and other local partners. Please stand up against the sidewalk management ordinance today and continue to work with us to create a Portland that is humane, safe, and livable for all of us.
Can I just ask one question?
No, you do your hands.
We, as you know, we've been working through a Section 8 task force to figure out what are the barriers to people who have vouchers getting rental housing. And the city funds Project Clean Slate to help people remove criminal record citations, which are often a barrier to getting a job or housing. Mm-hmm. And so the question of doing anything which limits access to housing is something that is of great concern to you and to me. Could you help me understand how a violation translates into any barrier for someone? I mean, a violation would be like a parking ticket, mm-hmm. a citation under this or something else. In practical terms, how does that impact someone's ability to get a rental apartment?
Well, I would absolutely encourage you to speak to any of the housing specialists in town that are working
I hire a lot of stuff. I fund most of them. Awesome.
And I have been one of those people. Yeah. I've been a frontline staff for community mental health organization for years before I worked at Sisters. Yeah. And while something might seem really cut and dry for you and I on paper, when it comes down to really creating more and more barriers for people who are in survival mode, who may be dealing with physical or mental illness, like, it's just not as easy as you think it is. And it scares people away from engaging in the process. It makes them feel less than human. And it's not healthy.
But it's worse if we were to stick with the status quo where you have the police enforcing these laws on a criminal basis, because that will show up.
Well, you heard people who were experiencing houselessness and had experienced houselessness last week that told you that's not true from their experience.
The tools we would have left would not be violations. The tools that the city would, absent this violation, the lowest status, in the lowest class of, as we heard from the district attorney, it's a violation, not a misdemeanor, not a felony. What if this isn't, and we just have an honest disagreement about what's humane? I think not having the tool of, and I want to correct something for the record, oral warning, written warning, and then, and only then, do you get a ticket. But not having that in our toolkit for trying to manage all the competing uses means that we're issuing criminal citations. And I totally respect where you're coming from, but I actually think the unintended consequence of that is it will prevent people from being eligible for housing assistance. And it's a question of degrees. A criminal item on your record is pretty devastating. So I just respectfully disagree. Thank you.
May I just clarify, Mayor? I'm sorry if I wasn't clear at the Sidewalks Advisory Committee. The Sidewalks Advisory Committee will be receiving the enforcement data. We just heard from the Human Rights Commission that they are also going to receive that data. And then as I said last week, the council is the oversight committee. We are responsible for taking the feedback of both the Sidewalks Advisory Committee and the Human Rights Commission and doing something about it if there's a problem.
Can I just ask, just to clarify, and I'm genuine, I'm curious to know what enforcement data is, so everyone knows.
The same kind of information we got from last time in terms of gender, age, housing status of
making sure that the oral
warnings, the written warnings, that things were done as in accordance, finding out what happened.
So
we can look at it.
There are three steps to the sidewalk cafes. There'll be three steps on this process.
11 more. Monica Beamer, Dan Handelman, Jessica Roy. They will be followed by Charles Long, Martha Perez, and Becca Lewis.
Welcome back to City Council.
Hello.
Glad you're here. Do you want to go ahead and start?
Sure. My name's Monica Beamer, and I'm the executive director of Sisters of the Road. Let me just start by saying thank you for the work you do for affordable housing, and perhaps we don't say that enough to you. Recently, you asked me in an email, Mayor, what I would do with regard to this, and my response was much of what everyone has said today, but included using existing laws that we know have do target people who are homeless, but also would not create a new law that would target people who are homeless. And your response to me was much of what you said to the Human Rights Commission today about the good work you have done around affordable housing. And I want to just emphasize that to me, the good work that you do around affordable housing is commendable and does not justify creating a law that is not, that goes against people's human rights. So to me, it doesn't equate to the earlier what you were saying about if you just looked at one, then you would understand how it wouldn't make sense. I think the good works we do don't justify doing anything that is not a good work and goes against human rights. So, but I do thank you for your good work around affordable housing. So we must stop blaming, targeting, and stereotyping people simply because they're homeless. And I'm proud of our community and our staff at Sisters for being steadfast in always saying no to the violence of these laws that are targeting and always standing up for each other's freedoms uncompromisingly. Sisters, as you know, is a cross-class community, and we get to learn each day from each other's stories. Ticketing does not address these root causes. And to us, as you know, at Sisters, we don't understand the classism in this. It seems wrong to use the ADA, but to make exceptions for business. Why is business more important than people, especially people who are poor? We have to stop giving tickets. We have to stop having people who get tickets clean up the streets for the businesses that are advocating for this law. And we have to stop saying this is about the sidewalks being safe. The Oregonian doesn't seem confused what this is about, that this is about stopping people who are panhandling in our downtown streets. And that's wrong. That's freedom. We can do better. We have to do better. And we hope that you will be visionary and no longer punishing of people simply because they are poor. Thank you.
So could I just ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
Could you talk to me about what you've done outside the Sisters Cafe on the sidewalk?
So we have, we have had crowding issues as well, and we have received lots of accolades, including from our neighbors, one person whose office directly looks up the sidewalk for what we have done. It's been highly successful. Our strategy has been to ask people to move, to make it clear where people can stand and sit. People can sit against the wall. They can't probably put their feet out. We've marked a spot. So we basically we just use discussion and asking people to respect the space of others and explaining why that's important.
So, but you do have a through zone, right?
We do.
And so is the your main concern about this ordinance that the sitting area is on the curbside rather than the building side?
That is one concern that we have, similar to what Julie was mentioning about the safety of it. But for us, much of it is that people can't lean against the wall. People can't the inconsistency of the exception to businesses is classism to us. The just the use of the ADA when we feel that it's not about that. So.
But you wouldn't. It's been my impression, and I want to give you a chance to correct it if it's wrong, you wouldn't support any sort of demarcations of the sidewalk.
As far as being clear about where it's good for people to stand and not stand and asking them not to stand, we are doing that at Sisters. So
you would support
giving people tickets, no.
So you'd support a sidewalk management plan that had a different pedestrian through zone?
We would probably not support something that would likely target homeless people, which these have proven to target homeless people.
So is that no?
No.
Okay, you would not?
No.
Okay, I just want to make it clear that we could change this in some way and you would still not support it.
These laws have been, you know, they've been proven unconstitutional because of their targeting, and we just need to get more creative than that.
Just to be clear, Monica, the sit lie, which I do not believe this is son of sit lie, was declared unconstitutional because it was claimed to be preempted by a state law that required that you use a criminal sanction, not a civil sanction, to address regulation of throughways. Not that it targeted, not that it infringed on First Amendment rights, but that it was preempted, and the court's admonition to the parties was use the tool of a criminal prosecution to address the legitimate concerns of a community to keep the throughways clear. And the plaintiff's counsel in that case, representing the party that brought the lawsuit, said to the city, yeah, we encourage you to use those existing tools, which are criminal sanctions. And I just found that, I have to say, as someone who cares about human rights, I found it odd that we were advocating for a harsher remedy and tool to do something which you've just acknowledged you do with the people in front of Sisters Cafe, and presumably if people don't follow those guidelines, they don't get asked to come inside and partake in a meal. So I have to say I find that a contradiction. I struggle with that.
Well, we are not giving out tickets to people, and we aren't making exceptions for business and saying that business is more important than poor people.
But I guess I'm just going back to this. It's a philosophical point. I'm not right. I have enormous respect for what you do.
Thank you.
With all due respect to someone earlier who said we're sinners for having a disagreement, I don't feel like we're sinners as allies to have disagreements on issues, frankly. If we start appropriating the language of the right to create these kinds of divisions over any policy disagreement, I shudder to think where we're headed. But
I was just pointing out the difference.
Yeah, and I want to say as much as I respect your view on this, I also respect the absolutist position you take, because in a way, I think of Sisters like the ACLU, like a lot of groups, that put a firm marker at the outer limit of a discussion to force the more honest discussion about the underlying issues, and I appreciate that. But we can still have disagreements on individual policies, just like we might even have disagreements about how to get at poverty or address the housing crisis. But I think at the end, we share the values, and that's the important part.
Sisters' role is important.
Thanks for your leadership of a great organization.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mr. Handelman.
Hi, I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. Mayor Adams and commissioners, thank you. We raised the issue last week that the Americans with Disabilities Act talks about objects in people's path and does not talk about human beings. I've since done a little bit more research on that. I still haven't seen any proof that it discusses human beings on the sidewalks. You said there's a bevy of lawyers ready to just debate that with me. Bring them on. I'm ready. Why didn't you wait for Randy Leonard to be here? He's very concerned about the free speech provision, which is now being stripped from this. Chief Sizer, you had to wait for Chief Sizer to come back to talk about the IPR. Randy Leonard's not here to speak for himself. We have to take Commissioner Fritz's word, what he thinks about this.
I haven't asked him.
Commissioner Fritz's own Human Rights Commission does not support this. Commissioner Fritz's own Human Rights Commission does not support this ordinance. I repeat.
Excuse me, it's an independent Human Rights Commission. It's not my Human Rights Commission.
Okay, it's under your jurisdiction.
No, it's not.
Only exemptions are for people with permits now to carry on demonstrations, which is a problem because your own sidewalk policy says that if you have less than 200 people, you can have an event on the sidewalk without a permit.
It refers to the other section of the code that governs assemblies. The way you described it is not the way our lawyers describe it.
Okay. Well, I don't see a reference in the code. I also think that if less than three people want to sit on the sidewalk with a sign that says, I object to the sidewalk management plan, they should be allowed to with their free speech rights. This will be declared unconstitutional. I guarantee it. You asked about what happens, why somebody might not be able to get housing. Well, if they have a lien on your money and you're trying to get Section 8 housing, does your money go first to pay off your ticket because you sat on the sidewalk illegally, or does it go to house you?
It's only when you get government refunds.
I'm just bringing up a rhetorical point.
No, that's the answer. I asked the same question.
Okay. We raised this issue. I think Monica just raised this issue, but I want to say this again. We raised this in our letter to you. Referencing to your own spending on housing and the Portland Business Alliance's commitments to the amenities that they've done, those are good things, but it does not allow you to buy away people's rights and dignity. When a parent says, you ungrateful child, look, I cook and I clean and I sew for you, that does not allow them to abuse that child. And that's what it feels like when you say, look what everything else we're doing for you. Sorry, we're going to kick you to the curb.
No, it isn't intended to do that, Dan. What it is there is an absence of acknowledgement from folks that have rightful concerns about what we're doing here, about the bigger picture. It is the absence of looking at the totality of our efforts. That's what this is about. And when we sit down with other folks who are concerned about this issue, we have very similar conversations with them. Folks that say this city is anti-business and so on. So we're trying to get folks to engage and struggle with the issues that we are dealing with by having dialogue, the real live on the ground issues that we're dealing with, to try to move beyond just slogans on all sides. I'm not just saying folks that care about issues, folks in this room, but we're trying to get the city, the entire city, to focus on all aspects of this issue. That's what this is about. That's why when I talk to the business community, I will talk to them about the fact we are not fully serving all of the folks here in Portland at a very difficult time in our economy, that we are overrun with requests for help and services. I have that conversation very just as plaintive as I'm having this conversation with you, with members of the business community. So we are seeking to create dialogue. Maybe we have to be the emissaries, because it doesn't seem like folks, except in Commissioner Fritz's group, there doesn't seem to be the full sort of swath of stakeholders on this issue. But there's plenty of work to go around here and plenty left to do. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. My name is Jessica Roy. And I really just want to echo what was said by the Human Rights Commission as well as Sisters of the Road. You said several times that this is courteous and compassionate. And I do not believe as a citizen of Portland, I grew up here, that giving the Portland police the authority to enforce something that directly affects the most vulnerable is compassionate or courteous. I work with people who live outside, and they have story after story about how they were targeted by the Portland police. And I know that you guys have heard them, so I don't need to repeat them. It concerns me that the way that we're going to solve the problem of the sidewalks being crowded is by ticketing people who don't have anything already, and by giving the police department the authority to say, okay, you're in the way. Like, it concerns me. It is not compassionate, and I don't think it can be called compassionate. And I do appreciate what you have done for housing. I do appreciate that I am grateful for that. And but this has nothing to do with that. They're separate issues. And I just wanted to express my concern. I do think this is a human rights issue. I do think that it separates people. It pits people who have and people who have not against each other, literally, down the middle of a sidewalk. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate your testimony very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you all. How many more do we have?
We have 8 more.
Great.
Next 3, Charles Long, Martha Perez, Becca Lewis. They'll be followed by Patricia Nolan, Lloyd Minton, Andrea Meyer.
Looks like Mr. Lloyd. Looks like Mr.
What's that?
Patrick. Oh, I'm sorry.
Patrick, do you want to come up?
Next. He'll be next.
He'll be next. Who are we missing?
Okay. Oh, Mr. Long.
Mr.
Looks
Long?
Like he's not here. Let's go with someone else.
Okay. Then Patrick.
Mr. Nolan. Ms. Perez, welcome back.
Hey, Sam. Hi. Thank you, Council, for having me. I'm Martha Perez. I'm fortunate to reside at 920 Northwest Kearney Street, number 110, Portland 97209.
Yep. We don't want addresses.
Okay. Thank you. And I speak individually as a commissioner for the Resident Advisory Council, which is an ad hoc committee directed per Steve Rudman of the Housing Authority of Portland Section 8 Public Housing HUD programs. I speak because I see what's happening, and so if I can't, you know, if I can't do a battle of wits with the council today, and I do agree with you, and I'm, you know, I'm about, you know, some of the counterpoints that your council is making, you know, and I'm sorry that I missed the last meeting dealing with the immigration issue in Arizona. It's taking up time, also my campaign. So I'll get to the point that looking at the exceptions under G exceptions. Line 2, the prohibitions in subsection B do not apply to a person, and then going down to C, performing street music while complying with the street musician partnership agreement. One of the concerns that constituents came to me was about that was, why doesn't it include people who sell art? We had a situation where a constituent was attempting to sell their art wares on the street corner in the heart of the Pearl District, and there seemed to be some sort of a conflict with the artist selling their goods on the sidewalk as opposed to the art galleries that were hosting their own art shows. And so that was a letter that I emailed to you about, Sam, that you may have recalled receiving. And so I do agree that we don't want more harsh punishment on our homeless. We don't have enough shelter for everyone, and we have to find continue to find creative ways to foster increased shelter and look at innovative, inexpensive ways to do that. But we do have a wait list of over 5,000 people waiting, as you know, for Section 8 and public housing, respectively. So I just want to thank you and have considered my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha.
Thank you for waiting.
You're welcome.
Hi.
Hi, my name is Becca Lewis. This is the first time that I've testified at a city council meeting here in Portland. I wanted to talk a little bit about your position on Arizona and the fact that you've come out against the law in Arizona that targets a specific section of the population. I think that this law is very similarly designed. I think it targets a marginalized community, and I think that it's going to be selectively enforced against that marginalized community. I don't have any confidence that the Portland police will not single people out because of the way that they are dressed or because they appear to be an unhoused person, and I think that that's a civil rights issue. I would urge you to reject this sit lie ordinance. I think it's totally unconstitutional.
Thanks for your testimony. Mr. Nolan.
Hi, my name is Patrick Nolan. I'm co-director of Soapbox Under the Bridge, a nonprofit here in Portland, Oregon. The first thing I wanted to mention was I'm maybe under the false assumption that when we come here, we come to sway your opinion one way or the other, and I was hoping that all of you could say that you hadn't made up your mind yet.
I'm hoping to hear what you want on the amendments.
You can change my mind with the quality of your argument, Patrick,
okay.
Not with buzzwords, well, slogans, not by yelling,
not
by
yelling.
Clapping. Not you. I'm just saying that the quality of the argument you present.
Okay.
Other testifiers have changed my mind on issues.
Okay. Well, it worries me that Commissioner Saltzman isn't here to hear my testimony, and he is probably going to vote on this. I did want to say that I have served on city committees. I've served on board of directors of nonprofits. I've served in consensus organizations. And this seems like an organization that's already made up its mind and has decided what's going to happen. As far as the changes, the only one that I was concerned with last time really was the same one I'm concerned with this time, the assembled with others part. And I was really disappointed to see that we'd taken that out. I was hoping that it would just be assembled because the freedom of assembly is really important to me. We have as a society, we have a time, place, and manner clause that says we can not give you that right if we, for some reason, have that. I don't think that we should legislate that as you can always not do it in this part of our society. We set up ourselves to eventually you can only do it in this part of our society. This will be used as a move-along law. It's been said, you know, the first one is a verbal warning. That is a move-along. And as far as the six-month wait, I just want you to get rid of that part of it completely. Let's just get it over with. Let's have it. I can go out and sit on the sidewalk. I can get a ticket for it. We can challenge it. Thank you.
Just to clarify, it's not a six-month wait. It's a six-month period for having the oral warning to see how it's going.
Yeah, but let's just get rid of that part.
Thank you for that advice. I, that part is really important to me, and since I proposed it, you're probably not going to change my mind on that particular piece. The move-along piece, we're asking people to then move to another part of the same sidewalk where they get to sit, lie, stay for as long as they like. So that's really different from the previous versions of any of these sit-lie ordinances where the ordinance was specifically designed to move people out of downtown, period. This is asking people, and it's asking anybody who is sitting, unless it's in a permitted sidewalk cafe, in the pedestrian zone, to please go sit on the other side. And it's saying that if you want to stand, assemble, do anything you want in the pedestrian zone, you have to be able to move when asked so that other people can get through. I'm really not seeing how this is a human rights violation. And I'm not seeing how it's going to be used to target different people because it's actually aimed at targeting whether you're sitting or standing in that particular area.
Then Mayor Adams has said, friends can disagree, and we'll find out in a few months.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. Really appreciate it.
Lloyd Minton, Andrea Meyer, Dory Davis. And then our last speaker will be Wyatt McMinn.
What?
You're out of it. I thank you very much for waiting. Would you like to begin, sir?
Sure. I'm Dory Davis. Thanks for having me. Do you guys have a map of the city and these zones illuminated in a way that people could actually physically understand them? Because what you're saying is not clear, to be honest. And I think it would help a lot if you guys put it in a medium that people could actually see. I'll just say that first to be constructive. Courtesy and compassion, you don't instill these things in people. You can't. You evoke them with communication and honesty, and you don't underestimate their common sense. I understand you're doing a balancing act between the businesses because they are the ones complaining. Let's be honest. When was the last time a disabled person or a homeless person called and complained about somebody on the street sitting there? Just doesn't happen.
Last week. In my office.
Once?
I had three people in my office last week talking about this particular challenge, so
okay.
It does happen.
That's surprising. Okay. Let's see here. I don't feel like it's going to regulate movement. I feel like it's going to regulate rest more than movement. Let's see here. And I feel like sugarcoating it with, I mean, I'm not trying to be rude, but I feel like sugarcoating it with, oh, well, at least you won't get arrested. It doesn't make it any better, you know. And saying that people don't have a charge sort of will legitimize police being able to usher you here and there and wherever, you know what I mean? It makes it feel like that to me personally. And I think it's going to make a lot of other people feel that way. Just because someone doesn't get a charge doesn't mean that the police aren't going to wake them up and say really rude things to them. So many people have told me of horrifying experiences with the police around issues like this, like the camping thing. And I think that people are not as angry with you as the police. And I think there's been a lack of accountability that is leading people to believe that no one cares.
Thank you for your testimony. We care.
Well, sir, I'm not done.
Sorry, your time's up.
Is it?
Yeah, you actually, I gave you a little more
time. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead.
Thanks for your testimony, sir.
Thank you. My name is Lloyd Minton, and I just scribbled a few notes here as I came down to listen. But I agree with the ordinance, and I don't see it as a human rights violation. I don't understand why the homeless have to hang around the sidewalks in downtown Portland except to panhandle or do drugs when there are so many other places around the city to find rest. And my comments were with the, you know, with the kids and the dogs and the, whether they're drug addicted or not, I don't believe they're using the sidewalks as a place to rest. I feel that they have their own agenda, whether it be panhandling or drugs. And I just want to say that Portland is a front runner nationally for its compassion. I do a lot of business around the nation, and I know that Portland has an extensive abundance of social services, and I believe it's due to the significant generosity of the taxpayers, as well as the compassionate city administrators. I think the city has done tremendous work in providing shelter for the homeless. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Meyer.
Mayor Adams, members. Andrea Meyer, legislative director for the ACLU of Oregon. And before I get to the free speech, two quick issues, if I can. One is I really strongly urge you to consider putting a sunset provision in this. I know when I spoke to Commissioner Fritz about this, yes, most of your ordinances and laws don't have sunsets, but what that does in this case, as it is important to do, is it forces uncomfortable possible conversations and public accountability by bringing it back and revisiting it. Second, Mayor Adams, I just want to clarify on the information about the sidewalk cafe enforcement and the warnings. As I read this ordinance, there will be an oral warning for a six-month period. After that, it is one written warning. And for human beings, that one warning is a lifetime warning that travels with them. And according to the sidewalk cafe enforcement, cafes will have three warnings before the enforcement every single year. So there's a big difference. Free speech. We are distressed at the change to removing that Section 6, the free speech assembly provision. I do not want to see the goods and services provision or the partnership musician partnership provision go away either, but you have removed something similar when assembled with others to participate in the observance of expressive event if the assemblies last less than 8 hours. Unless a person refuses to comply with a lawful order of a police officer to moderate the impact of the assembly on passage along the sidewalk, therefore you're taking into account that you will have lawful free speech gatherings where someone could be sitting up against the frontage, but there's still ability for walking and moving around. And why I'm particularly concerned, and maybe Mayor Adams, you may remember back in 2001 when under Mayor Katz I got involved in the sidewalk, street and sidewalk use, and I look at the administrative rules in front of me. It was to maximize the safety of the street and sidewalk use participants and others and to minimize inconvenience to the general public and disruption of public services caused by street and sidewalk use permits and to provide the public with an opportunity to exercise constitutionally protected rights of assembly and expression. And that provision included that under 200 people gathering, particularly at spontaneous events, following the traffic signals, could gather.
And I'll let you have more time.
Sure.
I like to have dialogue, as you can see, and not just back and forth. That was a very different ordinance. Very different ordinance where if we didn't put that in, it would have raised all kinds of flags. And we can talk to our lawyer when we're done here. But because we're allowing a place on every, unless life safety is an issue, on every sidewalk frontage, we took it out of here because it's already covered in a different code of the city. Do you see it differently?
I do. Let me explain what I see the dynamic possibly happening, which is that you do, and I worked on this, and you guys, to your credit, ACLU made a number of recommendations, and you accepted them back almost a decade ago. And as I said last time, quickly, we've used this around the city, state, to promote it as really a successful model. What I am worried about is the spontaneous...
That was ruled unconstitutional.
Huh?
That was ruled illegal by the courts.
No, it wasn't. No. Your street and sidewalk use permit system set up, the one that I'm speaking of that's affected by the change, the one that talks about when it's parades and when you're using the streets and the permit system. And the decision you made was
right. You've
got a permit structure, a liability, an immunity, and costs, and all of it's worked really well. But the provision is for under 200 on the sidewalk, you don't require a permit. You don't have the insurance and liability baloney that other jurisdictions put on. What that means without this new ordinance is if there's a spontaneous gathering in downtown and some event happens and people gather spontaneously and it's under 200 and it's on the sidewalk, and one or two people of that group sit down against the frontage. So I'm not speaking of an event where people are sitting down and fully blocking the sidewalk. And I think your six that you had in there didn't allow that anyway. I'm not speaking of that where no one can get through. But if you've got this event, 100, 25, 50, 100 people gather to protest, and one or two choose to sit down against the wall to get out of the way as people move around and stand around, you now are giving the authority for law enforcement to come in and ticket them. It may be that law enforcement in most cases will wisely choose not to do that, but it's very difficult for an organizer of that event to be worried about if someone's sitting out of the way, participating and listening. You've removed that. And what was so workable about six in there, the previous six, was it had the authority of law enforcement to make sure and moderate so that if 15 of those people sat down and no one could get through the sidewalk, they could moderate that. But if people moved to the curb or the frontage, it was fixed. Because your Section E, then, the language you currently have about participating in your attending parade, festival, and performance, and rallies, that language is still written around only the permitted events. And so I'm really concerned we're losing that piece from the administrative rules that you
passed. In compliance with street use or other applicable
permit.
But it doesn't say just permitted events.
No, but this, you don't require a permit.
Right, so that's why it says
street use or other applicable
permit. Street use or other permit events.
No, I read it as street use or other applicable permit. Now, if Mr. Wolbo comes and says the street use...
The whole other code. The reason we didn't get into it, and David might... You might persuade him, but I just want to...
He and I thought we were on the same page when we talked earlier that he agreed that under 200 would be subject to law enforcement coming in. They probably wouldn't, but they could.
Let me finish.
Sure.
Let me finish, and that is we're relying on that the code, the other aspect of the code that I headed up putting together back when I was a staffer and you were very good to work with me on it. We're just allowing that part. We're not trying to get into the business of that title of the code, that chapter of the code. We're letting it do its work. Yeah. We, as I understand it, back with that particular iteration, which is different than this iteration, had to put that in because we were trying to say no sit, no lie, anywhere on the curb. And this is very different.
Right, in 2000, right, for the last sit lie, but in 2001, I don't remember what scheme you had in place. I agree that the reason for sub 6 last time was a different reason, but I am worried, and I still do read the street use, and don't think you can read it otherwise, that you're basically saying that a gathering of 150 where it's not, you do not need a permit,
if you sit
against the frontage.
If we just reference the other section of the code, would be fine.
No.
Because the other section of the code allows for assembly without permit.
Right, unless you're also going to allow, as part of that, the sitting against the frontage. I'm not interested in asking you to make exception where people can't walk the sidewalk.
We've learned since 2001 that sitting against the wall, is that what you mean?
Correct.
Is state law trespassing.
if you're saying that it's trespassing to sit against the wall of a business, then I don't know what we're doing here today to talk about an ordinance, because to me, I've always understood this ordinance, really the issue going on is the ability to walk on the sidewalks. And I've not seen a lot of issues to be
all
around the downtown of people sitting in the middle of the sidewalk.
It's what we've been told is sitting, we don't enforce it unless somebody complains, but standing or leaning, not standing, but leaning or sitting against someone's private property is trespassing.
Well, let's assume the wall is something they're not using for purposes of this conversation and make sure that we are still focused in on the issue, which is that you've got a 150 gathering, no permit is required on the sidewalk. Of the 150, four people, for various reasons, are trying to sit down to participate in this event, are not able to sit near the curb. Indeed, that might be where a lot of people are moving around, and it would be dangerous. They would then choose to sit towards the wall, towards the frontage. I'm going to use the frontage because I thought that was the language, to be out of the way.
Sure.
They would be unprotected, and they would be subject to a warning, a written warning and a violation. Even engaged in free speech activities, even not trying to disrupt.
I don't agree with you, but I'll talk. We'll have David come up and give his point of view. Did you have other things you wanted to say?
Oh, I think that more than covers it, and I appreciate the time to dialogue about this, and I hope Mr. Wilborough and I are on the same page.
You always
appreciate your point of view on this, Andrew.
We do.
And I do hope you'll consider putting a sunset in. I know you probably don't want to bring this.
Thank you very much for your testimony. You don't get to repeat yourself three times.
Thank you.
Who else has signed up to testify?
Wyatt McMinn. Is he still here? There he is.
Okay. Hi, sir.
Hey,
thanks
right.
for waiting.
No problem. My name is Wyatt McMinn. I'm actually a union painter, and I work a lot downtown. I paint most of the, you know, high buildings we got. Maybe this is like just the way, like, first of all, I think his class is horrible altogether. But I mean, the way I think it could actually affect, you know, working people is I don't really have a clean place to eat and sit at lunch, and I can't really afford $10 a day to get a cheeseburger and sit in front of one of these fabulous cafes. Everybody's really talking about even for a cup of coffee instead of outside of Starbucks. Actually, me and my crew, we've been kicked out. We have nowhere to go for lunch, so we sit against the wall, and you know we're not allowed to sit down. I mean, just like trying to look at it a different way, and how is that going to affect like people who don't have an office or have like a truck to sit in or anything like that at all, and they want to like take a break. I think it's sort of very, very offensive, actually, like that we hang off the tops of like 200-foot buildings, and at lunchtime, you know, we have to ask for permission. We can't lean against the wall. I think it's actually pretty disgusting classes. And if it's not disgusting classes, I mean, what is it for? You know, you can't sit against the wall and like lean out my legs. I mean, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Or we can go sit in like the gutter, and you know, for an hour or whenever a break's actually over. So I just think it's a terrible, terrible ordinance. And I don't know if the thing about how it actually, like, you know, affects people who, you know, don't have a place to eat lunch for like an hour, you know, a day. So that's all I got to say.
Thanks for your testimony.
Get rid of it.
Appreciate it. David, anything by way of the, or any questions from council, but anything on the exchange with Ms. Meyer that you would suggest we change on that exchange?
Let me just lay out again our understanding of what this code would do. First of all, it would not impact the ability to assemble. It doesn't address assembly at all.
Wouldn't call him.
Clearly allows sitting outside of the pedestrian use zone during the assembly. The question for you is, should a right to sit on the sidewalk in the pedestrian use zone automatically attach to an assembly? Hopefully I put it in a positive way. Should a right to sit in the pedestrian use zone be automatically there when there's an assembly? In the old version, because there was no sitting allowed anywhere, council felt the need at a low threshold to automatically allow sitting.
That.
Here you have a considerable amount of the sidewalk available typically for sitting. My sense from you is you're not concerned about the availability of sitting as you were before, and you've made it available by permit. There is no permit required below 200, but certainly the code anticipates that anybody with any assembly at any size that wishes, in fact, to sit in the pedestrian use zone can apply to the Bureau of Transportation or the Licensing Bureau, the various bureaus involved in these decisions, and ask the city for that permission. So what you've done is you've, by crafting the code as you have, you've allowed considerable sitting during any assembly in a typical block face, and there are other provisions in other parts of the code.